You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 21st of October 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I would appear to have three news stories today that are all positive. They're all good news stories, not ecstatically wonderful news stories, but they are all positive all the same, and they make a nice change. I think we are used to the response to Islamic terrorism to normally talk about how there's going to be an inevitable white supremacist backlash, and we hear of lots of nationalists arrested for careless comments on Twitter. And it would appear as if the opposite is the case in France. France's interior minister, Gérald Darmanin, announced the closure of the mosque that shared the fatwa video against Samuel Paty for showing Muhammad cartoons during a freedom of expression class, which inspired the beheading of the teacher by a Chechen refugee. And they're calling it a fatwa video because it was critical of this teacher and essentially asking for him to be punished in some way. And of course, the people that put the video out will say, well, we were just asking for people to send a petition in. But there are these crazies out there, these extremist Muslim types, that will take that as meaning that he should be beheaded. That is the punishment for blasphemers. The Grand Mosque of Pantin, in the heavily migrant-populated Paris suburb of Seine-Saint-Denis, will be closed for 6 months from Wednesday, amidst a wider crackdown on Islamism in France. Authorities have arrested more than 80 individuals who expressed support for the terrorist, with French President Emmanuel Macron pledging the disbanding of several Islamist organisations. Normally we're reading about individuals who have been arrested for Islamophobic comments after things like this, not the people supporting this. As I pointed out yesterday, there was a poll in Britain that showed a quarter of the Muslims polled actually expressed support for this sort of behaviour, particularly against the people that actually made the Charlie Hebdo drawings in the first place. And what we have here is a teacher that was showing them to his class. Brahim Shninim, whose 13-year-old daughter was in Mr. Patty's class, had allegedly recorded a video and shared it on social media, in which he called for a mobilisation against the teacher, a move later branded by Darmanin as a fatwa. So this comes down from the government that they're calling this a fatwa. The mosque shared the post, which revealed the teacher's name and the details of the school in Conflans-Sainte-Honorine. On Friday, 18-year-old Abdulak Anzarov beheaded the teacher before being shot dead by police. And we'll hear later on in another of these news stories here that Muslims consider Charlie Hebdo to be far right. And what we see going on in the mainstream media is we see people that are associated with the far right, they get doxxed, their names get put in the newspaper, and they lose their jobs, they get attacked, all sorts of things happen to them. And that just seems to be acceptable. People just seem to accept this, that this is what goes on. The mainstream media can do this to people on the far right. So these Muslims have obviously assumed that it's perfectly okay to do the same with this teacher and to let people know who he is and where the school is, because they would associate him as being far right. So they're pointing out an inconsistency there, which is the same as the inconsistency that we point out that it seems that if you are a nationalist, you don't seem to have the same rights as everybody else. The right to privacy, for one, all the way up to the right to have a bank account, as we've seen recently, with bank accounts being taken away from Mark Collette and Laura Towler. I asked the prefect of Seine-Saint-Denis to close the Pantin Mosque in response to its leader sharing a message calling for the intimidation of a teacher and giving out the school's address. The prefect assigned the ban this evening, the interior minister said, according to La Figaro. And of course, we have Hope Not Hate that do this as well, that call for the intimidation of nationalists. They're constantly trying to identify nationalists so that they can then get people to intimidate them. They may not openly say we are calling for intimidation, but that is what the point is of making somebody's information public who quite clearly wishes to remain private. The mosque's leader, Mohamed Henish, later apologised for sharing the video and deleted it from the organisation's Facebook page, claiming that he could not imagine, after sharing it, that it would inspire an Islamic extremist to kill Mr. Patti. Well, how could he not imagine that when it says in the Quran that if people blaspheme, then they should be executed? I mean, that's a bit of a disingenuous argument that he's making here. He claimed that he had seen the video from at least 10 other sources and that it was viral in Muslim circles and was being spread widely on WhatsApp. So it was being supported, on the whole, by the Muslim population of France. Quite clearly, just mainstream Muslim views are incompatible with Western civilization and Enlightenment values. We continually see this, and yet we're told that if you say that, that makes you an extremist. Yet that is the reality of what we are seeing here. If a video like this goes viral in Muslim circles that condemns a teacher for showing a picture, quoting Charlie Hebdo in a class about free speech, then quite clearly it's against Western civilization, isn't it, if all these Muslims are against that? According to La Figaro, Henish is the head of the Union of Muslim Associations of Seine-Saint-Denis and the Muslim Federation of Pantin, which brings together six Muslim associations in the commune of Pantin. The newspaper also claims that Henish also knows radical Islamist Abdul Hakim Sefrui, though he told Liberation that he had not been in contact with Sefrui since 2012. Sefrui reportedly also made videos calling Patti a thug and has been known to French security services for years. French police have arrested both Shinanim, the father of the pupil who launched the campaign against the deceased teacher, and Sefrui. And again, we see what this Sefrui is doing. He is using the same terminology that is used against the so-called far right, calling this teacher a thug. And what we have here is a mosque that was circulating this information, but we also have anti-Islamophobia organisations that have also been disseminating this information. French Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin will propose the dissolution of several major Islamist associations after the murder of teacher Samuel Paty. Interior Minister Darmanin said he would defer to the courts, but argued that he would propose the disbanding of several controversial Islamist groups, such as the Collective Against Islamophobia in France. And that's the French equivalent of the British anti-Islamophobia group called Tell Mama. Now, Breitbart are referring to these groups as Islamists, but the fact they have a title like Collective Against Islamophobia shows that the French government have probably just described them as a Muslim group rather than an Islamist group. This is really quite a turn up for the books, actually, that these anti-Islamophobia groups are going to be investigated. And what he's actually calling for here is for them to be banned outright. Jarmanin went as far as stating that he believed several factors regarding the groups made them an enemy of the Republic and helped contribute to the environment that led to the beheading of Mr. Patti last week, Le Figaro reports. The CCIF was involved in overturning bans on the Islamic swimwear known as the burkini, which the group branded political Islamophobia, after several local governments along the French Riviera had forbidden it in 2016. And I can recall seeing programmes on the BBC supporting the fact that this was political Islamophobia and implying that it was wrong of the French to be banning the burkini, quite obviously coming down on the side of this group who is now going to be banned and who are being accused of contributing to the atmosphere that led to this beheading. Darmanin also mentioned Barker City as another group he would like to see dissolved, with the Islamic NGO suspected of having close ties to radical Salafist extremism. Think about that. That's an actual NGO, one of these non-governmental organisations that gets support from the UN. President and founder of Barker City, or Barak City, Idris Sihamidi, has been labelled a Salafist, and it was revealed in 2014 that he had been under surveillance by the French Domestic Security Agency, the Directorate General of Homeland Security. The NGO has also been accused of collecting around €3 million in donations in 2013, but only spent just over €1 million, registering a profit of nearly €2 million. It is easy to see how political Islam joins radical Islam and ultimately leads to terrorism, Darmanin said, and added, "We must fight political Islam with the same force as terrorism." That's a very, very important statement, that, because Islam is made up of two parts. It's made up of the political part, the Sharia law part, the part that seeks to run the government, and the religious part, which seeks to govern people's religious behaviour and what goes on in the mosque. So what he's essentially saying there is that there is this side to Islam that we need to be treating the same as terrorism, because its goal is to take over the politics of the country that these people reside in. I'm so surprised to actually hear this at last coming from the French government. The French government has expressed a desire to combat Islamist separatism in France since President Emmanuel Macron's election in 2017. Macron's administration has shut down several mosques, schools, and other associations linked to radicalism in recent years. However, a leaked DGSI intelligence report in January found that radical Islamists control as many as 150 neighbourhoods across France. I mean, that's quite a large area, isn't it? 150 no-go zones that they have, and France has the largest Muslim population in Europe. It has the most Islamic terrorism that we see in Europe. And finally, we now see the French government admitting that the political side to Islam is connected to the terrorism side of Islam, and both need to be stopped. Of course, we will have to wait and see whether the courts put a stop to this. As we know, when Donald Trump tries to do anything similar in America, the courts will put a stop to it. So we'll just have to wait and see how this turns out for France. Continuing over there in France, pupils in the Paris suburbs of Seine-Saint-Denis allegedly cheered footage of Pakistanis burning French flags in response to Charlie Hebdo republishing the Mohammed cartoons. So these are the children. These are the school children that have been brought up with the Enlightenment values that Macron thinks want, just dying to be free citizens of France. A Frenchman is just dying to climb out of these young Muslim schoolchildren. Well, it doesn't seem like that to me, because they're cheering footage of Pakistanis burning French flags in response to this. These Muslim pupils, they want to grow up to be good Muslims. They don't want to grow up to be French citizens, clearly. They cheer the burning of French flags. Teacher Jean-Baptiste Jourda claimed that one of his classes at a high school in the heavily migrant-populated Seine-Saint-Denis district outside Paris reacted with anger after being shown images of Mohammed that were published by Charlie Hebdo. "They exploded," he said, according to French magazine Marianne, and added, "they immediately insulted the newspaper. Some even said they wanted blasphemy to be banned by law." again, this is medieval, isn't it? Wanting to see these blasphemy laws. France is very proud of how secular it is, whether that's right or wrong. They're very proud of how secular they are. It's a central part of French identity. And here we see this, the next generation of French citizens calling to go back to the Middle Ages with blasphemy laws. Jorda went on to show the pupils a video taken in September of people in Pakistan burning French flags in response to the republishing of the Muhammad cartoons to teach them about intolerance. I thought it would make them think, but most of the pupils stood up and applauded, he said. So he was shocked at this. He thought that these pupils would look at this and think, oh, how terrible, they are attacking the French flag. But they weren't. They were cheering. They were cheering and applauding. This is what they think of France, regardless of how much teaching that they've given them about these Enlightenment values. They don't want them. That's not their heritage. Their heritage is an Islamic heritage, and they want to grow up to be good Muslims. They don't want to be French citizens. They want to grow up to be good Muslims, and they want France to become Islamic. That is their main goal. And that has always been the main goal of Islam, has been to turn the world Islamic. It's right there in the teachings of the Quran. Everybody should be obeying Sharia law. That's the way that they think, and that's what they've done throughout history. It's just amazing that we would allow these peoples into our countries when, right up until about 200 years ago, they were just invading our countries and occupying them, violently invading our countries and taking Europeans away as slaves. Nothing's changed. They haven't had a new dispensation from God. A new prophet hasn't appeared and told them that what they were doing is wrong. And yet, somehow, our politicians appear to just have had a mind wipe. They appear to have forgotten all of our history. The teacher continued, their big argument is the so-called double standard they present by comparing incomparable things. For example, they do not understand that criticism of the Prophet of Muslims may be allowed while doubting the Holocaust is not. And of course, these pupils have a good point there. Why is it that they can't investigate World War II and they can't say what they think of World War II without the risk of going into prison, and yet their prophet, their sacred thing, can be doubted and can be mocked? I mean, what this shows is that the Holocaust has become the equivalent of an idol to France. It's not in Britain, thankfully. We don't have these laws in Britain, these Holocaust denial laws. But in France, it has essentially become an idol, and it's become a blasphemy to doubt the existence of that idol, to question the results of the Nuremberg trial. So they do have a good point here. And it should be that you should be able to question the Holocaust, and you should be able to question Muhammad. You should be able to be critical of everything. There is nothing that should be out of bounds to be held up to critical inquiry. That is how you find out about things. That is how you get to the truth of a matter. And to say that you can't investigate it, it's wrong to say that about Islam and Muhammad, and it's wrong to say that about the Holocaust. So they have a good point here. And I don't understand how the teacher can say it's comparing incomparable things. Why is it incomparable? One of them is obviously sacred to one group, and the other thing is obviously sacred to the other group. And if France has these Enlightenment values where the sacred can be questioned, why does it have this Holocaust denial law? Why has it made the Holocaust into something sacred? I mean, it brings about, it's like the reversal of what used to be sacred. What used to be sacred was the crucifixion of Christ by the Jews. And what is now seen as sacred is 6 million Jews being killed at Auschwitz and or at the camps or whatever. There's a strange symmetry to the two things that that we used to hold sacred and what we hold sacred now. So these Muslims do have a good point there. The pupils, according to Jorda, view Charlie Hebdo as part of the far right, and said, So to fight back, all means are legitimate. Insults as well as violence. To challenge them on this issue is to side with the racists. So once again, it's because of these double standards, because it is acceptable to attack the so-called far right, and because that's what these pupils have seen, that's what they've been brought up with, to see that it's okay to attack the far right, insults are okay, violence is okay, all means are legitimate, bash the fash and all the rest of it. Because of that, they see this as exactly the same. They see Charlie Hebdo as being far right, Charlie Hebdo are racists, so they can attack them. All means are legitimate, including beheadings, including shootings. And it's incredible. We make all these problems for ourselves with these inconsistencies in our laws and these inconsistencies in the way that we treat people. And we talk about equality. And here we have two instances where there is no equality. There is no equality if you have opinions that differ from the establishment opinion, then you are not equal to everybody else. You don't have a right to privacy, and all means are legitimate to be used against you. And here we see this is now being transferred to anybody that criticizes the Islamic Prophet. A Chechen Islamic extremist teen murdered Samuel Paty last week after the teacher showed his class the Muhammad cartoons, which had previously inspired the 2015 terrorist attack on the officers of Charlie Hebdo, leaving a dozen dead. So what we actually have here, we have this teacher, this Jordan, he was doing the same as Paty. It must have been part of the curriculum that the children at the schools had to study this, had to study the republication of the images of Muhammad. And this is what happens. One teacher has been beheaded, and this teacher sees his class cheering and applauding when they see the French flag being burned. Well, we're going to move over to Britain for our final positive news story for today. And this comes from a debate on Black History Month that was being held in the Houses of Parliament yesterday. Kemi Badenoch, who is black, and was responding to the Labour MP Dawn Butler, who is also black, and her calls to decolonise history, said, "We do not want to see teachers teaching their pupils about white privilege and their inherited racial guilt. And let me be clear, any school which teaches these elements of political race theory as fact, or which promotes partisan political views, such as defunding the police without offering a balanced treatment of opposing views, is breaking the law." So it is breaking the law to be teaching these children, our children, about white privilege and that they have some kind of inherited racial guilt for slavery. And it looks like what she's saying here is it's against the law to be promoting Black Lives Matter as well, unless they are going to also teach about White Lives Matter, because they have to offer a balanced treatment of the opposing views. She says, "But why does this issue mean so much to me? It is not just because I am a first-generation immigrant. It is because my daughter came home from school this month and said, 'We are learning Black History Month because every other month is about white history.'" Shocking, isn't it? And this is what is going on. This is what the children are being taught. Every other month isn't about white history. Every other month is about diverse history. We're not allowed to have a white history month that is exclusively to do with white people's history, like black people are allowed to have their Black History Month. And it's a shame that we have to have a black MP telling us this, because if it was a white MP telling us this, they would probably be accused of racism. This is a situation that we are in now. They end up having to have blacks and ethnic minorities in these positions so that they can actually tell us these things, and they can't be accused of being racist. This is what's so wrong with this word racist for shutting down debate. It shouldn't matter who it is that is speaking the truth. If you don't agree with what they're saying, you should debate them, but not try to shut them down by calling them names. She says, "This is wrong, and this is not what our children should be picking up. These are not the values that I have taught her." During the Commons debate, the Tory MP called out the teaching of contested political ideas as if they are accepted facts, and an ideology that sees my blackness as victimhood and their whiteness as oppression. And that is absolutely central to all of this, isn't it? All of this white privilege, white guilt, Black Lives Matter. It is all about seeing blacks as eternal victims and whites as the eternal oppressors, rather than seeing whites as the eternal benefactors that have actually provided all the things of positive benefit to these people in the last 200 years, probably more. She also rebutted claims that the curriculum needed decolonizing and argued that making race the defining principle of what is studied is not just misguided, but actively opposed to the fundamental purpose of education. She told MPs our curriculum does not need decolonizing for the simple fact that it is not colonized. And this is it. It's supposed to be about the truth. It's supposed to be factual. You can't change it to make it more pleasant to the ears of black people. It has to be based on fact. We should not apologize for the fact that British children primarily study the history of these islands. And it goes without saying that the recent fad to decolonize maths, decolonize engineering, decolonize the sciences that we have seen across our universities to make race the defining principle of what is studied is not just misguided, but actively opposed to the fundamental purpose of education. I want to speak about a dangerous trend in race relations that has come far too close to home in my life, and it is the promotion of critical race theory, an ideology that sees my blackness as victimhood and their whiteness as oppression. I want to be absolutely clear. This government stands unequivocally against critical race theory. I hope today's teachers were listening to this speech. And I hope they do something about it, the way that this is promoted on the BBC and on the television as well. Speaking about Black Lives Matter, she told MPs, some schools have decided to openly support the anti-capitalist Black Lives Matter group, often fully aware that they have the statutory duty to be politically impartial. And I've seen some of the information that they've actually been giving these children. The school teachers have been giving them these papers telling them all about Black Lives Matter, that there's no alternative view there. It promotes the idea that police are just hunting down black people for the colour of their skin. They tell untruths about George Floyd. They don't give it any context, such as the fact that he was suffering from a drug overdose and that the officers there, two of the officers there, were non-white. And the guy that actually held him in that hold while he was lying down, his wife was non-white. So it was quite clearly not a racist attack. They don't have any of that. They just promote Black Lives Matter to these children, the children who don't actually have the ability to be critical, think critically about these things yet. She continues, Black Lives Matter is a political movement. And what would be nice would be for members on the opposite side to condemn many of the actions that we see of this political movement, instead of pretending that it is a completely wholesome anti-racist organization. There is a lot of pernicious stuff that is being pushed, and we stand against that. During the debate, Conservative MP for Ipswich, Tom Hunt, told MPs that while he agreed that individuals who harbour racist views within key organisations needed to be rooted out, people should be a little bit careful about using the term institutional racism. Mr. Hunt also criticised some of the leadership figures of the BLM movement for straying into cultural Marxism. I'm very glad he's using this language here, cultural Marxism. I'm sure some people will be looking up what that actually means after hearing this. Mr. Hunt told MPs, touching upon current issues in the media, like other honourable members, I was appalled by the death of George Floyd. I was absolutely appalled. But I would say I found it slightly disappointing. I think that the vast majority of people who have gone on the protests, I think, are well-meaning. And I agree with Tory MP Steve Baker that we should listen to their strength of feeling and how they feel. But I do think it is unfortunate that some of the leadership figures of BLM have at times strayed beyond what should be a powerful yet simple and unified message in opposition to racism that still exists in our society, straying into cultural Marxism, the abolition of the nuclear family, defunding the police, and overthrowing capitalism. So in some cases, I find it quite regretful that a message and an agenda that should have been used to unify has been allowed to become very divisive. But ultimately it is our duty to make sure the right messages are learned from that horrific incident, and I think it needs to be one of unity and moderation, and looking to improve the situation we have today, where we know that racism still exists. The Ipswich MP added, I'd also, looking at a petition, like to be a little bit careful about the term institutional racism. Yes, I think we need to be alive for the fact that there will be individuals who harbour racist views within key institutions, whether they be schools or the police, and they need to be rooted out. So what he is pointing out there is, yes, there are individual racists, but to claim that whole institutions are racist just because they were invented by white people is not true. And our institutions today, they all have diversity quotas, they all have diversity officers, they all have audits to check that they have enough diversity, they all have people that you can talk to if you think somebody has been racist. They bend over backwards to help the minorities. And yet we still get accused of institutional racism. But it's very good that he's used the term cultural Marxism, good that he's spoken out against institutional racism, good that the other MP has spoken out against Black Lives Matter and said that it is against the law to be teaching white privilege and white guilt in these schools. These are all positive things to hear from the Houses of Parliament. I'm very, very pleased to hear it. And just before I finish, I need to add a correction to yesterday's podcast when I was talking about Queen Victoria expelling the Blackamoors. I should have said Queen Elizabeth I expelled the Blackamoors. And I'm always getting Queen Victoria mixed up with Elizabeth I. And I do apologise for that. And I did add a correction to the podcast article. It was Queen Elizabeth I that expelled the Blackamoors. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.